God has been speaking very clearly to the body of Christ all over. Whether it's in the local church, other churches, gatherings, and all sorts of gatherings, God has been speaking. He's been really positioning us for a new place of just doing life so well with Him. And when God speaks, we need to listen. I think of 400 years where God's voice was silent. How frustrating it must have been not to really hear God speak. We have the Lord so close to us. He can speak to us any second of the day. How privileged we are. We're going to continue looking at Jesus for a long time, and hopefully we'll never take Him out. We might come into topical ministries and all sorts of other things, but always surrounded in Christ. Today we're going to be looking at Jesus and how He grew in consciousness of His Father, becoming aware of His Father. All right? Remember, we dealt with how He was just a total man. He grew up like a child. Although He was divine, He lived His life out without extra special privileges. He was here in the capacity of a person to live this life, and everything He encountered was those markers for us to be free. This week, when the leaders got together, the team for our Practical School of Ministry, we're so excited. It's not over-planned, it's organized, and it's planned, but it's open spaces for the Lord just to do what He wants to. And at the end, was it Monday that we got together? I think Monday? Tuesday. And we ended off in a time of prayer. When people speak, haven't you noticed that sometimes there'll just be something they say, and it like bounces in your heart? It's like there's anointing on it, there's truth there. So at the end of our prayer time, Rob was praying, like all of us were praying. He said something. He said, "I have a sense of rain falling down, like drops of light, drops of grace, drops of favor to bring life and growth at First Century Vineyard." And it resonated with my heart because God had been speaking to me for a while how He's healing each one with His healing rain. Everyone sitting in this building today needs healing in some place of our lives. And He's doing that. So when He prayed that, I thought, yes, I've been thinking about that. Just a few days later, the Lord gave me a word which I released on our prophetic forum in Vineyard, South Africa. And it had a great response. So from that response, from there, one of the other pastors posted that on the national leadership and then posted that on the Western Cape pastors thing. And that word that we started here in First Century Vineyard, a collective word has now broken out over the churches in the Western Cape. And further afield as well. And I want to read that to you. I'm not going to speak about it. I just wonder if the other churches have heard it, then you should, because it's from us. So the word that I released was this. Just receive it. Healing rain is falling. The Lord, in His infinite mercy and compassion, is touching our hearts. I have seen many releasing dead works and worn out plans to the Lord, throwing off the yoke of self-preservation unto the Lord. Healing rain is falling in places where old works, old ways have torn away. Jesus is leading us into and to places of joy, fruitfulness, and along paths we have not traveled before. Creativity and innovation will be the foundations. There will be life in the Spirit. I sense we will catch His voice and His direction. Now listen to this. To forge in small pathways as well as boldly negotiating highways in His kingdom. Get ready to move into opportunities which God is blessing. Some of you are going to travel. Hold light. Those who travel, and I know Charmaine's traveling soon, watch out for the opportunities that God is opening up. Hold lightly onto things. Consider if you are maintaining something that has become a hindrance. Steward well that which has been assigned to you, and follow boldly the Holy Spirit, our constant companion and guide. And ends off with this verse, Hebrews 12, verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, for without holiness no one will see the Lord. So in an essence, that word is saying to us that God has come, and some of the things that are not producing in our lives anymore, that could be relationships, that could be a job, it could be ministry, it could be the ways we think. It was good for a time and it produced, but God is saying, it's going to tear away from you. He says some things get taken from us. Other things just dry up. Other things we have to decide to give it over to God. And that process can be very sore. We look at people, why don't they understand me? Can nobody understand where I'm at? But God is saying that if He has decided that that way of thinking or the way you are operating, He's got a better way. And He dries it up or He removes it. Or some people that supported you suddenly don't support you in what you're doing. Don't be alarmed, because God is God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the authority. But now it's difficult because we form soul ties with so many things, with people, things we love. And it can become a very painful thing to release certain things. And I felt in that word God is saying, He's going to pour the healing rain down on them. He cares so much. He doesn't just say to us, you know what, I don't want you doing that anymore. He's a God of infinite love and compassion. He says, that's over. But I'm going to heal you so that you can present yourself ready for the new things that I'm taking you into. Isn't God good? So I trust that word, if you want me to send it on, I will send it on to you. Okay, are you ready, guys? We're going to try and negotiate a shorter sermon, because the Lord has really touched us, I feel us in a good way. Are you with me? Are you ready to hear from God? I can boldly say it's not me. The word of God speaks. I'm not here to draw people to myself. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to do anything but to boldly preach the word of God and let Him do the work that He has to do. So we saw a few weeks ago that God calls us to abide in Jesus. I'm going to just go through as I go. John 15, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Those were the words of Jesus. It's the foundation of life. Stay with Jesus. Abide with him. Seek him out. Seek his presence all the time. Because just being in him and not afar off, there automatically the fruitfulness comes, the breakthrough comes. This is an important point, because we'll see now how God draws us into a great unity with him. Jesus is the one who showed us what was possible in a relationship with Father God. If we wonder, how am I supposed to walk with Father God? He's so huge. I mean, imagine I get to walk with the creator of all things. We look at Jesus. We read the scriptures. We say, what did Jesus do? What did he say about the Father? He's the one who shows us the possibilities in having a relationship with Father. Amen. He showed us the kind of fellowship we could have with God. He always spoke freely with his Father, telling him all things. So in Luke 2:39, now we're going to go back to Jesus. We ended off last time with Jesus having been born and the calling of God on him. They've now gone, Mary and Joseph, we went into. If you have missed out on some of these teachings, you need to go back to them. Listen to the teachings, because they follow on one after the other. We're now going back for a brief moment. Jesus is a little boy, a little baby. They now have the rituals of circumcision, all the Jewish practices that they have for young children, young boys. Jesus went through all of that. Luke 2:39, when they had performed all the things according to the law, to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, their own city, from Galilee to Nazareth, their own city. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Hallelujah. There's our first clue. As we grow with God, even as a child, Jesus went through this. He grew in stature. He became strong in his spirit. He became spiritually fit. He was aware of God's presence inside of his little life. And he grew spiritually. Amen? He was filled with wisdom. Imagine having a little Jesus, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and he's so wise. He just knows how to do life. He shows supernatural wisdom, really. And the grace of God was upon him. So now Jesus and his parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. We now fast forward from babyhood. He's now circumcised and he's now 12 years old. A beautiful story. They go to the Passover feast, which is far away, quite a few days travel, and he lingers behind. Jesus now sort of lags behind, and we know the story well. After a day, his mom and dad realize he's not there. Because again, community, they're all safe. Not like here, you've got to walk with, you know, it's ridiculous. Lock yourself up in your car and whatever. They walked wherever they went. What a different life. Family. He's with Auntie so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so, maybe whatever. And they didn't worry until it was time to gather and to go and rest for the night, and Jesus is not there. They've got to travel all the way back. Now, it's so profound because you must understand, they could have said, this naughty child of ours, how can you do this to us? But Joseph had had a visit from an angel. Mary had had a visit from an angel. God had spoken to them. They knew they were not dealing with an ordinary little child only. There was something upon Jesus that was manifesting as a young boy. We need to cherish our young children. We need to cherish our youth. See what is upon them. They look and they look and they look. After 3 days, they find him in the temple. Another clue. He's sitting. What is Jesus doing? The rabbis, the teachers are there. He's taking his place. He's 12 years old. Hey, grade 6. Grade 6, maybe grade 7. Not even in high school. And he's sitting there with the rabbis. If he was foolish and he didn't have something of God upon him, if spirituality wasn't being formed in Jesus, they would say, go find your mother. Where's your mother? Where's your father? Go, 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 go. Wouldn't that be the natural thing? But they look at him. What is different about this young one? But Jesus is doing two things. He's listening and he's asking the teachers questions. So he's engaged. Because those teachers, they knew the Torah. They knew the words of God. He's engaging on that level with them. His spiritual formation is happening. We are constantly being spiritually formed. Isn't it beautiful? Do we cherish, do we honor what God is doing in our hearts? This actually growing us in spirituality with Him. It's an amazing thing. It says here that people were astonished, amazed at the understanding that Jesus has. Mary says to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, she points to Papa Joseph, look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Now, there must have been the most amazing moment, because the Spirit of God comes always and rests on truth. So there's no defense from Jesus. No rudeness, no disrespect. He's standing up in his spirituality as this young boy. And he says, why do you look for me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? So there you have Joseph, your father. And we know that Jesus was a good son. And then we have, I must be about my father's business. Again, Jesus stands up. And you see, he shows us something so powerful. We will be in situations almost every day of our life where we have to stand up for our walk in God. Where we have to give an account. We might not speak to somebody that day about God, but we have in the way we live, in what we choose, how we don't judge one another, how we love each other, how we apply and how we enter the awareness of God is with me. That is what grows us. I'm so glad that God in His grace is drawing His church to a real relationship with Him. Amen. And so he asked that, why didn't you know I was about my father's business? You see, Jesus knew, he was starting to get to know his father. It was crazy because he too, I'm sure, his mom and dad spoke to him about when he was small. That there was an, you know, angel came to visit mom. You know, families talk. He's starting to understand. He's trying to figure out his identity in God, who he really is. And so, who is my father? We saw when I shared about Alexander, and as I say, there are times I will take some of Alexander's points and bring them because they're so profound. But these ministries I'm writing, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, and I'm writing them as the Spirit of God leads. Now I'm going to go back to one of Alexander's points. Remember last time we said that they would have asked him, who's your father? Who's your father? We heard that Joseph's not your father. And the term was a mamzer. That was your illegitimate child. So Jesus dealt with that as well. Okay, we'll move on. Now throughout the life of Jesus, he constantly spoke about this. This stands out today. We're talking about the awareness of God in our lives. Being conscious of God. His mission over and over was, God is with me. If you go and research the scriptures, often you will say, God has not left me. God is with me. Emmanuel. John 8 verse 29, He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do those things which please Him. One of the fears that most of us have is to be abandoned, to be that somebody walks away from us. I remember seeing it so vividly when my father, my own earthly father, obviously has passed on many years ago, when he did something that he should never have done. And I remember, and we never ever said to him, we're just going to abandon you. When nobody spoke, our hearts were grieving about the situation, but we never addressed it. But because he came under the counsel of God, he called us in and said, please don't abandon me. Please don't walk away from me. And this is our fear, that we will be left alone. Isn't that so often? And so we can jump through hoops for other people. I want to behave in a way where they can like me and they won't abandon me. That acceptance comes in Christ. Jesus faced it. He kept on saying, but God is with me. He kept on assuring himself, God is with me. And he won that victory so that we could have the same victory. God is with me. We're going to have a scripture, Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. The first one, Paul says, do you not know? Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Just a reminder again, don't we know That we carry the presence of God. Jesus said earlier on in our sermon, you are in me. And he's in the Father, so that we are the temple of God. Then he says the second thing, do you not believe? So the first one is, don't you know? It's, don't you believe? John 14, verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Now that shook me. We know that Jesus and the Father, they're all one. But Jesus says, the Father is in me. That puts a different, isn't it a bit more weighty? It's an interesting thing that he would testify. He's already testified that I will only do what the Father tells me. But he says, the Father is in me. He says, believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now we go to John 17, the high priestly prayer, just a few verses. Jesus says, I do not pray for those alone, but for those who believe in me through the word. Jesus is saying, we don't have time to expound more. Jesus is saying he's not just praying for his disciples sitting around him there, but he's praying for us who are going to come. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they too may be one in us. Now, if Christ Jesus prays that prayer, and it's for us, his heart cries that we would be at one with one another and with him. And it says then that the world will believe that you have sent me, and the glory you have is given it to me. And he says again that you may be one, I in them, you in me. And he says that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you sent me. And so the abiding presence of God, Jesus became aware from a little tiny child, then to 12-year-old, then later on, and then to the point at the pinnacle of his ministry, between 30 and 33 years old, where he now can truly say, where he's grown in God, he's grown in understanding, he says, let them be one with us. So again, the message of God, of Jesus, was always, Father is with me. God is always with me. Now, I want to move on. You can read the notes for yourself at home. We are connected to God, and I'm going to then speak briefly about how to live in his presence. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. God's plans are magnificent, more than we can dream. Take hope today. By faith, we are absolutely inextricably joined in the Spirit to Father, to Jesus, and to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so we'll move into a few minutes now. How do I live from this incredible presence of God in me? So we abide in him. I want you just to see where I'm going with this. What we sometimes do is, because we don't practice his presence, getting to know him, we can sometimes move away from him, from that place of hot fire, hot faith, trusting him. So what we do is this, we might get a tiny little sniffle in our nose, okay? Now we've got an option. We can say, oh, winter is here. You know, normally when I get this little sniffle, it goes into my throat. And then from my throat, it goes into my chest. And then I'm normally down for a week. So that's how we operate. Now, God is saying to you, live in my awareness. So when you find a little obstacle in your life, in my life, your life, take it on straight away. Say, God, but you here, I'm aware of you. Your Spirit is in me. You now take authority in the small miracles. Constantly, I don't have money for the bus. Lord, I trust you. I trust you in this. Father, I don't this. Lord, my knee is sore. Father, my children are fighting with one another, heaven forbid. But Father, whatever it is, I'm trusting you now. So we take every small little incident and we trust for the small miracles. And you do it by being aware. And when you just tune in, when you wake up, you've got to practice. Wake up in the night. Hello, Lord, I'm here. You have to let your spirit just be open. Because you see, God is spirit. I think we sometimes struggle because we want to relate to God like in a physical form. But God is spirit. So you need to recognize his presence, that he's a spirit who's with you. And that spirit gets substance when we know who he is. What is his position, who God says he is in the Bible. Then he starts to manifest himself in the small miracles. So why is that important for me to always be aware? Because now when a big problem comes, it's like the prodigal son. A calamity comes across my life. I don't now have to fight my way towards God again. Oh, if I can just have faith. If I can just trust God. Lord, I'm so sorry for the sins I've done. Oh, God, I haven't been very good, you know, God. I haven't been. It's so difficult to fight our way back into a place of rest and faith. But if we are staying with him every moment, winning the small battles, trusting for the small miracles. When the big calamity comes, and they do come, I am now positioned in the glory, in the presence, and I know God. Amen. Another amen. Amen. Yes, amen. It is a miraculous truth that we've got to exercise. So I check in with him. Every time I feel God calling me when I'm driving my car, say, hello, Lord. I'm just open all the time to conversation with him. You can read your notes. I will recognize him there. I will experience his presence. So I want to say, when we are praying now for, and you can go through your own points there, but when I'm praying for the sick, for example, praying for finances, I'm now starting to pray that, oh God up there, would you come and bless this? When you pray for healing, you now come and you will be aware of God. I know God is here. I know God wants to touch Theo because he says so. Now I pray from him, not naming and claiming, I've walked with God every day, aware of him, laughing with him, including him, practicing his presence. I now come, and out of the fullness of the presence of God within you, you can say, Theo, be healed. Not my power. What am I doing? The power and the presence. I am in Jesus. Jesus is in God. Father is in Christ. We are completely filled. And we say, be healed. And his spirit is also in God. And what happens? There's this beautiful flow and rejoicing of the spirit of God. Amen. Does it make sense to you? And so practice praying and believing from his presence. We end off. You can read those notes at home. We come back to Jesus, his simple life, 4 points, and I'm just going to mention them. So as Jesus grew up, he's such a beautiful example to us. He lived a very simple life. Now here I want to give Alexander credit for. Just, we know it's the truth. It's not Alexander's truth. It comes from the Bible, but he put them together. Jesus lived a very, very simple life, unhurried, detached from material things. Nothing possessed him. You know, we need to sometimes look at our lifestyle. Do we have a lifestyle that is so difficult to maintain that sucks the joy out of us? Or do we live a more simple scaled-down lifestyle where the cares of the world are not weighing upon us, but we are free to enjoy God. So I think that's a real challenge to say, God, where's my water? Is my water here? That's a real challenge, is to say, Lord, show me if there's something in me that's a hindrance to me living a free life. And when we're honest with God, He will show us. What is that thing? I can say quite truly, because my darling auntie's here, my love forever. I remember once having had a, you know, when you're very young and childish and all the rest, you have these relationships. I remember the first long boyfriend, and things were going so well, and I'd just given my heart to the Lord, and everything was cool. I said, Lord, I want nothing to hinder me from walking with you. And God said this person's name straight away. Woo, I didn't expect that. But can you see? Now you're childish and young. And it's like the biggest disaster that can come upon you. But God is like that. He will put His finger on things because He knows what is good for us. So Jesus lived an unhurried, a simple life. Do we spend too much money? I'm going to just say as the Holy Spirit, do we spend too much money on groceries? Just because it's convenient. We went to fruit and veg, what is it called here down here, Artie, myself. I bought so many vegetables, I didn't know what to do with them. And I got a big pot, you know, those old cheap pots that I was telling Estelle, the hot pot. Because I actually genuinely, God woke me up in a dream. He said, Vilna, you've got to start cooking soup. And I heard it clearly. And when I asked him, he says, yeah, you're eating junk food, and this is cheaper. Not all junk food, we do eat good food. But it's too convenient, and this is cheaper, and you're going to feel so much better. So I listened to him, and I cooked this enormous pot of soup. But you know, it's so lekker because it's in the freezer. So instead of eating bread or a roll for lunch or whatever, delicious soup that you can just warm up. So God wants to teach us practically how to live a joyful life. But He's saying to us today, can you scale down? Live unhurriedly. Let me put my hand upon anything that is wasteful or unnecessary. And then when you do celebrate, celebrate well. Okay? He's not a mingy God. He might say, go and take a friend out and or whatever and have something wonderful. We go to the second point quickly. He worked hard with Joseph, his father. I believe hard work is a blessing. As long as you know how to rest. When we are idle and we don't have purpose, that's when the wheels come off. But when we have purpose, and no matter what age you are, you find something to do with your hands that could bless. That's a quality of life. God always blesses good work. He works. He's working now. He came to rest when he created the earth. But it's His power sustaining all things together with us. Third thing quickly. He learned obedience by what He suffered. Jesus could not have gone through His life without suffering. Being obedient. Hebrews 5 verse 8. Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things He suffered. Do not let Satan mock you when you're suffering. Suffering is part of life. To suffer well is a glory unto God. If you're going through something and it's a tough situation and you trust in God, it's a great testimony because we're learning through that. And having been perfected, the Bible says, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Now, do you love the word? I love the word. Ah, yeah, yeah. I can stand here now and read it over and over again. Just listen one more time. Indulge me. And having been perfected, Jesus came to the end of His life when He said, Tetelestai, I've done it all. He said, He's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. He wrote the script, the story of our lives. And He's connected us to His salvation. Hallelujah. the last one, a life of prayer and Torah meditation. You see, in this lifestyle that Jesus, when he had preached to the hundreds and whatever else and healed and drove out the demons, he always went and found a quiet place. His life doesn't show that he rushed around 24 hours a day, superstar, healing everybody. No, 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 no. He listened. He walked in those rhythms of peace with God. But through this being soaked in prayer, soaked in the scripture, waiting on God, he learned from the Torah and from Abba. He learned from his parents. We, praise God, are on a lifelong journey of learning with one another and with God. Your family situation where you are now, you might say to yourself, you know, I only came to Jesus later, and I wish I could have raised my children from when they were very tiny, just being free in God, just being free in God, expressing who they are. I wish I could have trained my children just to be who God has made them and trusted God for the outcome. It's never too late. Do not write yourself off. What about now? Now's the day of salvation. Salvation isn't just having a ticket to heaven. It's for our entire families and for us to walk in obedience and joy. Ask the Holy Spirit. You know that son of mine, that daughter of mine, they don't want to talk about God. And I know I irritate them when I do. I'm not talking about my own son now. But you say to the Lord, it's okay. You show me creative ways. You show me, is it on the football field? Where is it? Is it lying on the bed with my son? We're playing computer games. What is it? Give me the keys for connection. And then you say, Lord, how do I walk with him now? Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for teaching us that we can explore ways of having a relationship with God that is so profound and special. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell in us. That, Father, you dwell in Jesus. That, Jesus, you dwell in the Father. And that, Lord, we are in you. And so, God, we want to receive that truth. We are asking God for a spiritual lift this morning. The truth of the word to come right now to activate us, to lift us to places of faith and joy that I am carrying. I'm a temple of the living God. I'm carrying God's presence. Jesus, I pray that we will be aware of you. This week we say, let us be conscious of you more than any other time in our lives. Conscious that you're with us. Let us see you with our spirits as though we are looking with our natural eyes and with our natural ears, hearing your voice. So we come under the work of the Holy Spirit now to take these truths, these seeds of your word, and God, to, as you sow it into our hearts, we take it by faith. We say, water these seeds today by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit right now so that we can, Father, explode and grow in wisdom and in stature and in growing in maturity, God. Show us the possibilities of having the most astounding relationship with you. I pray now for every family, that the love of the Lord Jesus Christ will pervade our hearts and our actions, that the power and the love of God will be upon us, that the creative power of Father would be working in us, and Holy Spirit, that you would stir up joy and celebration within us. And all God's people said, amen. Sorry, the voices go. You must have a wonderful time. God bless you. If anybody doesn't have a lift still, you haven't spoken to us for Wednesday, please come. And yeah, one thing we have forgotten, we didn't want to put you on a WhatsApp list now yet, but once you're here for the first time, we'll put you on a list that's easy to communicate. We won't bombard you with anything. But for example, we're going to need you to bring, if you can, please, now you can use your device to type on, but we want you to keep notes. We're going to be giving notes up on the board. You're allowed to take your phone and you're allowed to take a photograph. But we want you to be responsible for taking your notes. So bring your Bible. Bring a little book. Bring a pen that you can write in. We will have a few extra for those who can't do that. Because we want you to keep a visual diary. We want you to keep a diary of this experience that you are embarking on with one another and with God. Okay, so we'll see all of those here at latest 1 minute to 7, but otherwise 4:45 for a nice cup of coffee. Amen.